2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read God's word? Never shared this passage with you before, to my knowledge. And I love this passage. We'll see by the time we're done why it's such a beautiful passage. These are the last words of David. So already you know it's important. The oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, Israel's singer of songs. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, when one rules over men in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings the grass from the earth. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these words and what they mean. May we be able to say what David said. Help us to understand them today. Through your Spirit, open our hearts as our act of worship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Today's message is entitled, The Blessing of a New Day. The Blessing of a New Day. Wake up. Open your eyes. That's what you did this morning at some point. I know that, else you would not be here. At some point every day of your life, you wake up. That moment when you reach consciousness, you go from the world of sleep and dreaming to the world of reality and becoming awake every single day of your life. What then? That moment when you realize I'm not dreaming anymore. That was just a dream. I'm awake. It's a new day. What then? That's really what I want you to consider this morning. What do you do during the first few minutes that you're awake? Or maybe even shorter than that, what do you do during the first few moments when you wake up every single day? Before you eat your breakfast, before you grab that first cup of coffee, before you put your clothes on, before you even get out of bed, what do you do right after you open your eyes and you realize it's a new day? Did you know that's important? What if I told you that those first few moments actually define your day? And combined with many other days, can define your life. Did you know that? David did. He got that. And what he chose to do in the first few moments of his day after he woke up were so very important to him. We know that because it is ingrained in the book of Psalms. As we recently spent a year studying Psalms, I began to notice a pattern of David's daily routine. As something I'd never noticed before, so we spent a year in Psalms. And as you read from psalm to psalm to psalm, he talks about the morning time, he talks about the daytime, he talks about the evening, he talks about the watches of the night, and you begin to see a pattern in David's life of what his schedule was like, spiritually speaking, especially. What was important to him? What sustained him? What empowered him throughout his life? Beginning with what he did the moment he woke up. And that moment is critical for you and me as well. Now, I'll confess to you, I never used to think about it. Why? Because I assumed that I had so many days left ahead that it didn't really matter if I lost one or two, or if this day didn't go well, I've got tomorrow, and the one after that, and the one after that, and the one after that. But now, and by the way, I'm not 95 or anything, but I've come to this point in my life where I realize I've got more days behind me than I have ahead of me, And I began to realize how important every single day is. In fact, regardless of your age this morning, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. And that assumption that I had when I was young was a foolish assumption, because all it was an assumption. I was just guessing. And every day that goes by and every year that goes by in my life, I realize my guessing is getting worse and worse and worse as I get older and older. But we don't know. In fact, we just finished studying the book of Proverbs on Wednesday nights. This last Wednesday was chapter 31. Great chapter, by the way. I hope you were able to study that. But in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, one of the verses that somebody commented was their favorite says this: "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." One paraphrase that I mentioned to them says it this way: don't brashly announce what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't know the first thing about tomorrow. That's pretty good theology, because we don't know. Today's Sunday, tomorrow's Monday. I talk about July the 4th with the assumption that we're all going to make it to July 4th. I don't even know if you or I will make it to July 4th. I hope we do, but I don't know it. What have I done to earn life until July the 4th? I don't know. In James chapter 4, verse 13, James, the half-brother of Jesus, put it this way. He said, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." When I go on a vacation, I plan out each day carefully and strategically. Why? Because first of all, you only get a vacation once a year or so. And vacations cost a lot of money. I'm spending money. And vacations are fun, or they're supposed to be fun. So I plan ahead. So we schedule each day very cautiously. We get up at a certain time, and because we want to go down to get the free continental buffet. You know, you plan everything out because you've got a lot to do. And if you don't get it done, you're not going to get to try again for another year. And so those days are very strategic for you and very important to you. And then you know they'll soon come to an end. And so you want to make the most of it. Well, that's exactly how David was for every day of his life. Every single day. So I want us to look at David and his life and how he scheduled his day, and specifically the first few moments of his day. First, I want us to see that David had the right attitude. There are just a few attitudes that I want us to note that David had that you and I need to have. We pop our eyes open in the morning. Attitude's really important. What is your attitude when you open your eyes in the morning? Now, if your attitude is, "I need coffee before I have the right attitude," you already have the wrong attitude. I've always said this, and you know I've said it, nearly been fired for it. If you need coffee, if you need a chemical to make you a nice person, then you're not a nice person. You understand that? Before you even had coffee. See, David never had coffee in his life. It had not been discovered yet, so he had no coffee. What attitude did David have as soon as he opened his eyes? Well, number one, David rejoiced. And by the way, write these verses down, just the reference, or highlight them and go back to them because they're very important. He rejoiced. Psalm 118, verse 24, that famous passage. I will begin with that. David rejoiced. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." It doesn't actually mention the morning or that he just woke up, but it sounds to me this is not something that he mentioned around 12:30 or 1 in the afternoon. I get the impression he probably said it right off the bat. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. You should start your day by being thankful you're not dead. You're alive. God gave you another day. It's a new day. He sustained us once again and allowed us to live another day. We didn't earn this life. We don't deserve this life. It's a gift. And every single day is another gift from God. Psalm chapter 3, verse 5. David says, I lie down and sleep. I wake up again because the Lord sustains me. The very fact that we wake up at all is because God sustains us. It's not our clever thinking. It's not our super great health. It is God who sustains you and gives you life. Now that's the right attitude. The atheist doesn't know. He doesn't get it. But you and I, as God's people, we should know, should we not? It is God who sustains us. He made us and he sustains us. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5 says, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Notice he doesn't say, again, he doesn't say mid-afternoon. It comes in the morning. I can understand now why God designed our bodies to get tired and need sleep. Because I need morning. I need a tomorrow. I need a new day. What if we just had one long day? There's no yesterday. There's no getting over anything. It just drags on and on and on. The problems of yesterday are never behind us because there's no yesterday. Oh my goodness. I need a nap. I need some closure. I need some between time between my mistakes from yesterday and today. I need some opportunity to get over that so I can move on. And God brilliantly gave me the night so I can sleep, hopefully forget some of that, ask God forgiveness, and we'll move on. And I'll talk about that in a minute. So that's the attitude that we need to have. And that's what he says. Rejoicing comes in the morning. So that's the first thing that he did. He rejoiced. Secondly, David sang. He sang. In Psalm 59, 16, it says this. And by the way, again, you woke up today. You're not dead. Say, thank you, God. You sustained me for another day. It's what David said. You sustained me. And number two, David sang. Psalm 59, 16. But I will sing of your strength in the morning. Not in the afternoon. In the morning, I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. Psalm 92:1. It is good to praise the Lord and make music in your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Notice, David never mentioned his singing ability. David never said, I'm going to sing of God first thing in the morning because, man, can I sing. I have the best voice. I would win any contest. I'm pitch perfect. He never mentions that. I don't know if David was a great singer or not. He never brags about how great his voice was. And yet he talks about singing quite often. Wouldn't it be funny? We get to heaven and we find out he's tone deaf. You see, God made you and me with the ability to sing. Now, you may be tone deaf, and some of us definitely sing better than others, but all of us have the ability to sing. And so he doesn't give any excuses here. As you sing along when you wake up, if you need to turn up that Christian music loud enough in your car, you turn it up loud enough, we can all sing. It may have to drown you out, but you can sing. You can do it. There's no such thing as a non-singing Christian. Sing, sing. That's what David did. I just can't imagine a life of not singing Christian music. How can you not sing Amazing Grace? How can you not sing these great songs that God gave people and inspired people to write? Sing. You don't have to sing 24 hours a day, but when you wake up, you sing and God will give you a good attitude. Number three, I noticed this. David confessed. I started to share this a while ago. David confessed. Psalm 32:3 says this. David says, when I kept silent, That is, when he didn't confess, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. And you say, well, Pastor, there's nothing about the morning there. Well, he did not confess his sin in the morning, and so he does talk about the rest of his day. He says, day and night, God's hand was heavy upon him, and his strength was sapped. It may be you go throughout your day, and your strength is sapped because you have not confessed your sin to God. Let me tell you, the best time to confess your sin to God is the moment you open your eyes. As soon as you open your eyes, if there is the weight of sin in your life, don't get out of bed. Don't try to get through the day as best you can. And when you can't take it anymore, you finally go, oh, okay, God, I get it. It's been on my mind all day. It's worn through me all day. All right, I get it. I confess it. I'm sorry. Why did you wait till 3:30 in the afternoon? You just ruined half your day or more. Why not confess it immediately? Get it off your chest. And I'll tell you this too. The Word of God tells you this. Jesus said this. In the Lord's Prayer, do you remember this? He said, forgive us our sins as we forgive our trespassers. That's the model prayer. In the model prayer, Jesus says, don't forget, you be sure to confess your sins. But in the same sentence, he says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. It goes hand in hand. So some of us are carrying around the weight of sin that we have not confessed to God, and others may be carrying around the weight of sin that we have not forgiven that others have committed against us. It goes hand in hand. You have to let go. And when you open your eyes, you say, God, I don't want to carry this weight around today. I did some things. I said some things. I thought some things I shouldn't have said or done or thought yesterday. You know what it is? I know what it is. I'm sorry. I ask for forgiveness in the name of Christ. And also, that guy, Bob, he's no good. He did me wrong. He lied. He cheated me. He stole from me or did this or said that. I'm mad at him. I don't, wherever Bob is, I don't mean to get on Bob. I just use an example. I forgive him. I'm going to let that go. I'm not going to spend my day thinking about him, being mad at him, judging him, or hating on him. I'm going to let that go. You've forgiven me. I'm going to forgive them. And you start your day like that. You don't have to be a theologian to get that, right? Otherwise, you're going to carry that garbage throughout your day. All that weight's going to go with you the moment you get out of bed, shackled all day long. So let it go. Now, I'll end with this. There are five things that David sought from God. I'll go through them very quickly. Five things that David sought from God every morning when he opened his eyes. Number one, he sought God's love. And he says this time and again. Psalm 90:14 says it this way. David says, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing, there's the singing, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. So he says, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing. I want to know your love. I want to experience your love right off the bat in the morning, that we can sing for joy. Now here is a seasoned, battle-hardened warrior who in hand-to-hand combat has killed hundreds, if not thousands, of men with a sword, including the mighty Goliath. He's a tough guy. He's tougher than anybody in this room or anybody in Azle or frankly anybody in Texas. He's tough. He's 10 times tougher than SEAL Team 6 or anybody else you can think of. He's tough. This guy is brutal. And yet here he is saying, God, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love that we may sing for joy. Wow. Wow. I find that amazing. He speaks of God's love in singing for joy because he knows that the joy of life comes from God. Because of God's love. You're never too tough for that. So number one, he sought God's love. Number two, he sought God's direction. He sought God's direction. Oh, this is important. Psalm 143:8. Let the morning bring, there's the word, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. There's love again. For I have put my trust in you. Listen to what he says. Show me the way I should go. For to you, I lift up my soul. Every day, every single day, ask God for direction. Don't wait till mid-afternoon where you wasted half your day or you've gone in the wrong direction and you go, this day is going horrible. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't ask God what I'm supposed to do today. Come to think of it, I've been doing what I want to do. Open your eyes and say, God, I know you love me. I love you too. What do you want me to do today? How often do you do that? Let me tell you, I'm the pastor. I'm a preacher. It is so easy for me to wake up, open my eyes, as it is for you, and before I know it, it's noon, and I sit down to pray my prayer for lunch, and I realize that's the first prayer I've prayed all day. Noon! I've blown it, blown half my day, and I haven't even prayed to my God one time. I haven't asked for forgiveness. I haven't asked for direction in my life. I haven't sung. I haven't done anything spiritually at all. You try that in your relationships and you won't have many relationships. I'm just not going to talk to my spouse for half a day. I'm going to ignore my kids for half a day. Well, yeah, that won't go too well. So every day, ask for God's direction in your life. Seek his love and his direction in your life. Number three, help and hope. And I put these together because David did. Ask for help and hope. Seek help and hope. Psalm 88:13 says it this way, but I cry to you for help, O Lord, in the morning. My prayer comes before you. David would start off his day. He'd open his eyes and go, hey, I don't know how this is going to go today, but I can tell you right off the bat, I need some help. He's not even out of bed yet. I need some help. There may be days where you feel, I need some help just getting out of bed. Psalm 119:147, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope, there's help and hope together. I have put my hope in your word because help is for something in the future and hope is about the future as well. So David says, I need your help and I'm putting my future hope in you. Psalm 5:3, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice in the morning. I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. There's the hope. I make my plea to you. I pray to you and I believe in faith. I hope that you hear me and hope that you're going to sustain me. My hope is in you. Number four, David found his satisfaction in God. Oh, he was satisfied. Let me tell you, either you're satisfied or you're not satisfied. And there are people that'll never be satisfied in life. It doesn't matter how much God gives you. It doesn't matter how much God blesses you. You have everything. He just lavishes you and you're just not satisfied. You've got to choose to be satisfied. In Psalm 17:5, David says, and I, in righteousness, I will seek your face when I awake. There it is. As soon as I open my eyes, when I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. Now, what does God look like? He's not saying, God, I want to see your form. He knows that God has no form. He knows he's the unseen God. That's the first rule of Jewish theology. What he's saying is, I want to connect with you. I want to be a part of you. I want to have that connection. I want to experience you. I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. Are you satisfied with your God? Or do you always long for something else or someone else's life? You understand that Satan is the God of dissatisfaction. Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 hymns. 8,000. Songs like Tell Me the Story of Jesus, Write on My Heart Every Word, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done, and so many more. But Fanny Crosby had been blind since she was a baby. She couldn't see anything. When she was 8 years old, she wrote this poem. 8 years old, she wrote this poem. Oh, what a happy soul am I. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. She was satisfied. And that brings us to our passage for today, which I read at the beginning of the message. These are the final words of David that he ever spoke. His goodbye to the world, and what he says is truly remarkable. So go back with me to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1. He says this, these are the words, or the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, Israel's singer of songs. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The God of Israel said to me. And here's what he said. This is what God said to him. When one rules over men in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, and that's David. David ruled rightly and he ruled in the fear of God. God says when you do that, he's like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings the grass from the earth. Now notice what David doesn't say, or what the Lord doesn't say about David. David didn't cry out and say, oh, darkness is surrounding. These are his last words. He's dying. He didn't say, darkness is surrounding me, or death is out to get me, or, oh, Lord, I'm in pain, or, oh, woe is me. No. This is basically him saying, or God saying about David, you've ruled the right way in the fear of God, and now your life is beautiful, like a bright sunrise on a green spring morning after a rain. I told you, what do you do in the morning when you open your eyes? David is saying, it's like that right now at the moment of my death. Those may be the most beautiful last words in history. So rejoice, confess, seek God's love, his direction, his help. Be satisfied when you open your eyes. Find hope in him, the blessings of a new day. In a few hours, it's going to be evening already. Once again, you'll brush your teeth, get ready for bed, snuggle up with your favorite pillow, and drift off to sleep. Then, by the grace of God, a wonderful thing may happen. The dawn will come and you will open your eyes tomorrow morning. Then what will you do? Pray with me. Father, we thank you for these passages and the example that David was. It's such a simple thing. We all follow that path. We all fall asleep. We all wake up tomorrow morning. If we wake up, we will open our eyes and immediately we have choices to make. To seek you or ignore you. To be grateful or to complain. To have hope or not. To sing or have sorrow. To repent or to carry that weight. Help us to begin tomorrow the right way. It's a new day. As you're praying, no one's looking around, can I challenge you today, right here, right now? Lord, tomorrow when I open my eyes, I'm going to do these things that David did every day. I'm going to start fresh. I'm going to forgive those who have hurt me. I'm going to repent of those times that I've sinned against you. I'm going to have the right attitude. I will seek your love. I will sing. I will have joy. I will seek your face. I will look for your direction for my day, not just my direction. I will place my hope in you. I trust you. I will cry to you for help. Will you do these things? Will you commit to do these things? Again, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be the greatest Christian in the world to do this. They're simple things. It'll change your day. If you do it every day, it'll change your life. It could be that God is calling you right now to give your life to Christ. You've never done that. You want to surrender your life to Christ. And you need to come down and say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. If you've not done that, now is the time to do that. God's giving you the opportunity right here, right now to do that. Just say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Christ. That's all you need to do. And I'll pray with you. And we'll go from there. Could be you or your family is looking for a church home. And you want to come down and say, Pastor, we would like to join here. Or you just want to come and kneel and spend time thanking God. If God is leading right now, this invitation is for you. Would you stand? No one's looking around. All heads are bowed. All eyes are closed. If all of you would stand. And as we stand and as we continue to pray right now, you come.